אתם עם SBS בעברית.
And we are joined now by Shane Izyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi Shane.
Hi Amit, how are you?
I'm good. And looking at your front page this week with the lovely photo of the two released hostages this week in Israel.
Yes, well, we thought we'd put a lovely photo on our front page. You know, sometimes it's a lot of text or a lot of articles, but sometimes a photo can sort of say 1,000 words in one go. So we've got a lovely photo of the two rescued Israelis who were rescued by the IDF in that daring rescue operation in Gaza, in Rafah, last week. So we've got a photo of Fernando Marmon, 61, and Louis Har, 70 years old, who were from kibbutz near Yitzchak. And they were in Sheba Medical Center recovering. I think they've gone home since, and they're just in being embraced by their loved ones and family members. So it's just it's good to have something uplifting at this time, and it's just so much emotion in that photograph. Just wonderful to see.
Any connection to the Australian Jewish community, Jane?
Not these two, as far as we know, but of course all the there were lots of messages sent from Australian Jewish communal leaders, and just it's just heartening to have something like that happen at this time. Much needed. Just good for morale, good for spirit.
Yeah. What else is making headlines this week, Shane?
The other thing we have on our front page is, of course, this big doxing crisis story.
What does doxing exactly mean, Shane?
Doxing is commonly defined as publishing a person's private details with the intent of causing harm, such as harassment.
Yeah.
So Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's announcement that his government will support a proposal to criminalise doxing has been welcomed by the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. This week, Albanese condemned the public leaking of conversations from a private WhatsApp group made up of 600 Jewish creatives, with the incident prompting him to ask the Attorney General to bring forward legislation in response to the Privacy Act review. A list of people in the group, including photos and links to their social media accounts, was also made public. And Albanese said, "This is not the Australia that we want to see. These are 600 people in the creative industries who had a WhatsApp group that was not heavily political, but designed to provide support for each other because of the rise of anti-Semitism that we've seen. And what we've seen now is them being targeted." Attorney General Mark Dreyfus said the government is committed to protecting the safety of Australians, and stronger privacy protections for individuals are essential. He said the recent targeting of members of the Australian Jewish community through those practices like doxing was shocking. After the Executive Council of Australia Jewry led the push to get the laws changed, President Daniel Agion said he's grateful the government has listened, and we look forward to working with the government to ensure the full extent of the harm caused is understood, and that the new laws effectively protect Australians from this shameful and dangerous practice. Now, we've got a few examples of this. We talked to author Lee Kaufman. She told the Jewish News, "Since the doxing, my mental health has really fluctuated and it's occupied my headspace." She was one of the 600 Jewish creatives in that WhatsApp group. "It's been really emotionally distressing and hard to focus on my parenting, my small children, and doing my full-time job as well. And I'm not even the most affected. Some of our members have had far worse consequences, but I've still been affected. For example, some anti-Zionist activists have been harassing the workplaces where I teach writing, trying to persuade those workplaces to cancel my workshops." Kaufman said she knows of several members who have either lost work, received hateful messages, and have deactivated all their social media accounts. A spokesperson for the group said it began as a support group for Australian Jews seeking to address anti-Semitism in their professional environments. It's made up of people like artists, writers, actors, musicians, and academics. And it was formed in the wake of the October 7 massacre and morphed into community activism, responding to a surge in anti-Semitism in Australian arts, universities, schools, and media, and particularly on social media. So Agion said those responsible for leaking the information cannot get away with it, while Victoria Police confirmed it is investigating the the incident. One of the leaders of the leaks and this doxing was illustrator Matt Chun, who the Australian has now revealed his actual name is Matt Jones. Now, he posted on October 8, quote, "Power to the freedom fighters, love to the martyrs, death to the occupation, and resistance by any means necessary to liberation from the river to the sea." Pro-Palestine activist Clementine Ford also shared a link to the leaked spreadsheet to her large social media following. And others involved, according to the Australian, in this doxing, Zee Mazloum and Elsa Tuet Rosenberg. Aguillon said, while existing laws outlaw the use of social media platforms to menace and threaten others, the doxers themselves, who orchestrated a campaign of intimidation, violent threats, and horrific abuse, cannot be allowed to get away with this.
So again, what doxing means? It means an act of publicly providing personally identifiable information about an individual or organization, usually via the internet and without their consent. And this word, Shane, is pretty new. I don't think a lot of people heard about doxing.
Yeah, that's we've had the same. None of us in the office until a couple of weeks ago had heard of doxing either. But I guess when these incidents come up enough, people make up words for them, and I'm sure it'll be one of the words of the year by the end of the year.
Yeah, probably. And moving on to a different story, and following up from last week when Greens member Jenny Leong had some comments on the Jewish community, and this week MP Josh Byrne's reply.
Yes, absolutely. So we've got a whole page on that, a couple of articles. Firstly, some reaction by politicians. Josh Byrne's told Federal Parliament on Monday that Jewish Australians don't feel safe and respected by the Greens. His speech came after a week in which, as you mentioned, a video surfaced of New South Wales State Greens MP Jenny Leong accusing the Jewish lobby of using, quote, tentacles to influence power, and during which Federal Greens MPs attacked Israel in both the House and the Senate. So Burns called Leong's rant one of the most blatant, racist and bigoted statements by any elected official in Australia. He said not one Greens MP, state or federal, has called out and publicly rebuked Ms. Leong. So to have blatant racism and targeting of a minority community from a major political organisation in this country is just shattering. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese told the House, "I condemn totally any form of anti-Semitism, including the comments by my local state member, the member for Newtown," which is Miss Leong. There's been reaction from the Zionist Federation of Australia, who earlier wrote to Albanese to thank him for his condemnation of Leong. Also, Barara MP Julian Lisa and Liberal Senator Maria Kovacic were very strong commenting on this. In Sydney on Saturday, no, it was on Sunday actually, a group of about 15 Jews, some locals or Israeli Australians as well, had a very creative protest of their own outside Miss Leong's office. Mm-hmm. They dressed up as octopuses. And one of them was greeting everyone cheerfully, saying, "Jenny, my tentacles are purely for pleasure. Nothing nefarious, I promise." That was Jack Pinsuski in a big, bright orange octopus suit. He said it with tongue firmly in cheek in front of her office. Protest organizer Ophira Birnbaum was wearing a blue octopus outfit and joined the others singing lines from the Beatles' hit Octopus's Garden and displaying signs with messages including, "Dear Jenny Leong, Jews do belong," and "Octopus is not kosher." The colourful protest was a direct response to Leong's vile anti-Semitic slur. She wasn't present in the office during the protest. Now, Birnbaum told the Jewish News, "I wish we didn't have to do something like this, but the anti-Semitic slurs from Greens MPs keep surfacing, and this one was the worst, as Jenny knew what she was saying was anti-Semitic and it was unmistakable. So we thought we needed to do something in response in a very visual way. And it got some good exposure here in Australia, and it even made the TV news in Israel. Yeah. Of using elements of theatre, slapstick, and entertainment in a protest, Penzisky said, "I used to do a fair bit of improv, and I couldn't think of a better way, really, to put a spotlight on this issue." Now, he said he does not accept Leung's public apology because I think he said it was disingenuous and then it was more like a political statement. And I think it's pretty clear that she hasn't undertaken to do anything to remediate the damage she's done from saying something so abhorrent and damaging about Jews. And he added he still has not received a reply to a letter he wrote to Leung in October, in which he specifically advised her to keep in mind that the language she chooses to use has real consequences.
And this is the developing story of Greens MP Jenny Leung accusing the Jewish lobby of using tentacles to influence power. You can read more about this on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, any positive stories to finish off with?
Yeah, there is actually. The Zionist Council of New South Wales held an evening at Moriah College, a good turnout, about 300 last week, with a panel of 9 people who, since October 7, have spent time in Israel volunteering. And they even created a special brochure with about 8 organizations in it with ways of people, if they wanted to, how they can go to Israel if they have the time, and what type of things they can do, from like working in farms or at an army base or in visiting people, injured people in hospital, or even just meeting families and listening to them and giving them some support. So panelists agreed that while their trips to Israel were challenging and particularly emotionally challenging, they gained as much personally from it as the help that they gave. They also reflected on the strength and spirit of Israelis and how grateful Israelis were to them just for being there. One example is that David Moses, who did tasks from helping out at funeral services to project managing construction of a communal kitchen and laundry for evacuees from Israel South, he described being a volunteer in Israel at this particular time as one of the best things I've ever done in my life. He said, "When my grandkids say, 'What did you do during the war?' he said, I'll be able to say I was able to help, and although it was a tiny drop in the ocean, it was my drop." So lovely to hear that.
Nice.
And very more briefly, but kind of related.
To finish off with, yeah.
A group of 17 young Australian Jewish leaders from Melbourne, Sydney and elsewhere visited Israel in the first week of February to gain a deeper insight into what happened on October 7 and also to provide support to impacted communities. So well done to all of them.
Nice. Shane Ziatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.